Global markets are in positive territory, although the United States, not to the greatest extent. European markets closed in the black with quite varied performances, with the German DAX, the standout performer, up over 3.5% on the day. The local bourse was on a tear, however, with the all-share index ending the day up 3.08% to close at 52,497 index points. Financials shot up over 5%. Resources were up over 3.3%, while industrials ended the day up 2.14%. Oil prices are moving up, with Brent crude oil trading just shy of $40 a barrel. And of course, tonight we'll be paying more for fuel at the pumps as oil prices firm up. The local currency is also on a good footing today, trading around 17.16 against the dollar, 19.19 vis-a-vis the euro, and 21.52 against the British pound. Nissan Nair, he's a senior portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities, and he joins me on the line. Thank you so much for joining us, Nissan. So our market's beginning to look less jagged. Are we able to see a more steady uptick in valuations now?
Yeah, good evening, Nampa, and to the listeners as well. I think you may have hit on a point there. You know, it's certainly the most positive day that I've seen the South African markets in a very, very long time, especially, you know, the financial shares, which have really been the battered sector, if you like, that gave us, it was almost a barometer of what the market thought about the SA economy and SA Inc. in general. I mean, that was a star performer today. And, you know, financial shares across the board, you know, just for the benefit of viewers, Sun International and Sogo Sun were up over 50% today. The casino shares, and the casinos are not even open.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I think it gives you an indication of just how heavily sold off the market was, you know, and that contextualizes the return or the beginning of return of risk, I think.
Yeah.
So I think for a lot of investors, you know, the RAND 1721, this is the highest levels we've seen in a long time, in the last 2 months, effectively. Mm. So we could potentially be on the road to recovery right now. That's certainly, you know, what a lot of people are beginning to think.
Internationally, what about the lingering monsters, particularly emanating from the United States in terms of relations with China? I mean, it was very interesting to read up earlier, Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam striking out at foreign governments, in inverted commas, without naming them, for double standards in their reaction to Beijing's national security laws on Hong Kong. And of course, she must have been talking about the United States, where, you know, security forces, or at least the police, are not being rather nice to peaceful protesters, although admittedly there are some violent protesters who've taken over the thrust of what people have been peacefully protesting over.
Absolutely. There's so many issues at play at once here. You know, you could write a story about each of the things that are happening. I think firstly, U.S.-China relationships, I think it's gone beyond the saber-rattling right now. I think, you know, we're heading to a period of sustained strain between the U.S. and China. It was coming for a long time ago. Started off with the trade war and the long negotiations. It didn't really take us, you know, too much down the road. But I think the Chinese and the Americans now are going at it, which I think gives a lot of concern for me, certainly, and the impact that that's going to have on markets, even though markets themselves are kind of just struck that news off.
Yeah.
Of course, in the in the U.S., the sad news about the riots and the whole Floyd incident, I think, is for me concerning. These issues always come up in the U.S. and they're usually very badly handled. This was no different. It's taken the news headlines away from coronavirus, which is still very much there.
Yes.
You know, these protests in America are a thing that is going to challenge, you know, the whole American way of life and the American government. I think Trump, this is going to be another big test. I mean, he started off handling it very badly, I thought. But, you know, hopefully things improve along those lines. But again, markets have ignored it. You know, the S&P seems to be firmly entrenched around the 3,000 level.
Mm.
This is giving, you know, good impetus to international markets, particularly out of Europe. But, you know, things are still very much in the balance right now for me anyway. I think one should be very careful, you know, not to be absorbed by all the euphoria that seems to have surrounded the green that we're seeing on the screen. I think, you know, it's not as One should not be as complacent as what maybe markets are suggesting.
Yeah. The oil price is coming up very nicely, and I suppose it can likely maintain its momentum because the world is coming back to economic activity.
Absolutely. We said, a month and a half ago when the oil price was hitting, what was it, minus $38, if I can remember it correctly. But in those dark days of negative oil prices, we said, but it's all based on the fact that, the global economy is in lockdown.
Yeah.
The minute things start loosening up again, the oil price will start coming up. And I think we're beginning to see that now. People are calling fair value at between sort of $45 and $50 in the medium term. I think it's very likely that Brent can actually see those levels. We're going to get an oil price, we're going to get a petrol price increase here.
Yes.
In South Africa as a result of that oil price movement. At the end of today, in a few hours' time. So, I think the fact that a lot of people are starting to go back to work is going to resume demand for oil, and then we'll get a clearer picture of what it's worth right now.
Hmm.
But at the same time, there's a lot of oil inventory out there. I read an article, there's over 1 billion barrels of oil that's being stored at the moment. So it's going to be some time, I think, before we see oil close to $60 again.
Hmm. I have serious personal regret for not buying a bit of Sasol when it was trading around 30 rand a share. I remember myself and my colleagues at the SABC economics desk, we were debating as to whether, we should have a go at it. And then some people were saying, no, it's got debt covenants and, we're not sure if it's going to be able to meet its covenants. So it's a no-go. So some people did go ahead and invest, but I didn't. Now it's trading at 117.50. Is this all about the oil price, or is it a genuine hope that in the long run Sasol can deliver?
Yeah, it's fascinating. A week ago it was in the mid-70s, 80s, and now it's almost down 50%. Almost from those levels. So, one does scratch one's head when it comes to things like this. But there's a combination of things work here. I think, firstly, the fact that it breached the psychological 100 Rand level meant for me that it was going to go up higher today anyway. It breached that level yesterday. So, potentially there is another upward movement for it. It depends where it finds support. And secondly, I think there were a lot of short sellers in Sasol precisely for those reasons. Debt covenants, debt generally is quite high. They hedged the oil price. They hedged the rand exchange rate. These were bad moves in hindsight, but obviously those hedges kind of unwind right now. There's a number of factors, I think, that have given rise. There's bargain hunters as well looking to get in. We know the buyers are starting to come back because of the overall market. Everything was up. Invariably, Sasol, was going to have its own following, and that's why we saw the share price go up as well.
Hmm.
So many reasons, I think, why the share price. I wouldn't be short of the share right now. We had a lot of clients pile in at the 50, 60 Rand level.
Hmm.
We had one or two very, very brave clients at the 30 Rand level as well, I should say. But we've mainly seen buyers into this market. So I wouldn't want to be a seller right now, even though I think the price may be reflecting a much better oil price than what we can potentially expect in the next few months.
Is it too late to dip in now?
It's never too late, and the market always gives you a second chance. David Shapiro often tells me that. when I find myself lamenting about missed opportunities. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea. We didn't increase clients' holdings, but we also didn't decrease clients' holdings on the way down.
So, right.
For a lot of our clients, because we maintain a long-term view, fundamentally we thought there was going to be a correction in the oil price. So there was no reason to sell clients out of it. It's never too late. I think if you have a long-term view, on energy, that's positive. Sasol does remain a good entry point, but so does the likes of Royal Dutch Shell or ExxonMobil, any of the other battered oil companies.
Nissan, how's the retail sector looking? I mean, when you look at the index today, is it up along with everybody else? And what is the outlook? Because obviously a lot of consumers are going to be under pressure going forward.
I think if you look at, Nampo, if you look at just what's happened to retail shares, you look at businesses like Woolworths that have kind of halved. I know they've had a great day today. But even if you look at ShopRite, you look at Pick n Pay, you look at Truworth, some of the discretionary guys, Massmart, You know, I think investors were in such a hurry to get out of them at the onset of lockdown and the impact it was going to have, that they were very, very oversold by whichever metric you look at. So there's going to be some stability, you know, some bargain hunting, some normalization. It does not mean that earnings are not going to be horrific.
Yeah.
I think investors need to prepare themselves so that these are going to be some horrible numbers we get. You know, you just look at some of the high-frequency data, the retail sales out in April and May. Second quarter, from March to June, March to the end of May, is going to be shocking for a lot of investors. I think one needs to prepare themselves for that. The longer-term view depends very much on how the government intends stimulating the South African economy. We went into this crisis requiring some sort of resumption in consumer spending, and the interest rate cuts will help, you know, towards that. But we're going to need a lot more stimulus coming from government in order to be able to do that. I know they are working on several initiatives.
Yes.
And hopefully, you know, that helps stimulate. And that's the only thing ultimately that's going to give rise, you know, to higher retail share prices right now.
Nissan, thank you so much for your time. That was Nissan Nair. He's a senior portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities.